By the time I'd gotten a shower, shaved, and climbed into fresh clothes, I felt almost human, though I still had a whale of a headache. Murphy arrived shortly after. "What the hell happened to you?" she said, by way of greeting. "Took a psychic headbutt from Cowl," I said. Murphy greeted Mouse, scratching him under the chin with both hands. "What's a Cowl?" I grunted. "Right, forgot. When I met Cowl, you were in Hawaii with your boy toy." Murph gave me a smug smile. "Kincaid isn't a boy toy. He's a man toy, definitely a man toy." Molly, lying on the floor with her feet up on the wall while she read, dropped her book onto her face. She fumbled it back into her hands, then tried to appear uninterested in the conversation. It would have been more convincing if she weren't holding the book upside down. "Long story short," I told her, "Cowl is a wizard."
"Human?"
Murphy asked. "Pretty sure, but I've never seen his face. All I know about him is that he's stronger than me. He's better than me. I stood up to him in a fair fight and got lucky enough to survive it." Murphy frowned.
"Then how'd you beat him?"
"I stopped fighting fair and bumped his elbow while he was handling supernatural high explosives. Boom, I figured he was dead." Murphy sat down in one of my easy chairs, frowning.
"Okay," she said. "Better give me the whole thing."
I rubbed at my aching head and started from where I'd left Murphy yesterday, up until the end of my confrontation with Cowl. I left out some of the details about Elaine and everything about the circle. That was information too dangerous to spread around. Hell, I wish I didn't know about it myself.
"Scavis," Murphy mused aloud. "I've heard that somewhere before."
"It's one of the greater houses of the White Court," I said, nodding. "Wraith, Scavis, and Malvora are the big three."
"Right," Murphy said. "Psychic vampires. Wraith feed on lust, Malvora on fear. How about these Scavis?"
"Pain," I said, "or despair, depending on how you translate some of the texts the council has on them."
"And suicide," Murphy said, "is the ultimate expression of despair."
"With a mind like that," I said, "you could be a detective." We were quiet for a minute before Murphy said,
"Let me see if I've got this right. This Scavis is in town. According to your ex, the private investigator Anna Ash hired, he's killed women in four other cities, and he's doing it again here. Four so far. And Anna's meant to be number five."
"Yeah," I said.
"Meanwhile, this gray cloak who works for Cowl is in town doing more or less the same thing, but you don't think he's here to help the Scavis, whoever he is. But you do think he's working against the killer, along with this passenger, whoever he is. You think those two left the clues you found on the bodies to pull you into an investigation and take out the Scavis."
"Even better," I said, "I think I know who Passenger was."
"Who?"
Murphy asked. "Beckett," I said. "It makes sense. He's got his wife on the inside as an information source. He's gone up against me before and walked away. And I cost him years of his life and a lucrative share of a criminal empire. He's got plenty of reasons not to like me."
"That's who Gray Cloak, the Malvora, was talking to."
"Whoa, Gray Cloak, the Malvora? How'd you get that?"
"Because," I said, "he talked about sharing some tastes with the Scavis when it came to letting the prey anticipate what was coming before the kill. The Malvora do it so their prey will feel more fear. The Scavis do it so that they'll be more tired, be more ready to give in to despair."
Murphy nodded, lips pursed.
"And the White Court loves manipulating everything indirectly, using others to do their dirty work for them."
"Like using me to wipe out his Scavis competition," I said.
"Which makes sense, because Malvora and Scavis are rivals."
"Right," I said, "and I'm fairly confident in my guess, just like I'm fairly confident that Beckett must be our passenger."
"That's a sound theory, Dresden," Murphy said.
"Thank you, I know.
But Beckett died almost 7 years ago. He was killed in prison.
I figure Beckett must have made a deal with the Malvora and..."
I blinked.
"He what?"
"Died," Murphy said. "There was a riot. Three prisoners were killed, several injured. He was one of them, As near as anyone can tell, he was standing in the wrong place at the wrong time. A prisoner was wrestling for a guard's gun. It discharged and killed Beckett instantly.
Hmm, I said, frowning. I hate it when the real world ignores a perfectly logical, rational assumption.
He faked it?
She shook her head. I looked into it, and I talked to the guard. There was an autopsy, an identification of the body from his family, a funeral, the whole nine yards. He's dead, Harry.
Well, damn it, I said and rubbed at my headache. He made sense.
That's life, Murphy said. So, this hidey hole you found.
Long gone by now, I said.
Might be worth going anyway, if you take Crypto here with you.
She leaned down and planted a kiss on top of Mouse's head. My dog gets more play than me. Sheesh.
Maybe Gray Cloak, the theoretical Malvora, left a good scent behind.